Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
To have you company this Wednesday afternoon. Ooh, it's not such a great afternoon, is it? If you are up here in Auckland, but that doesn't matter. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever the weather, it's time for you to take 25, pour yourself your favourite tipple, put your feet up and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. Irene, I wish all of our listeners could see you. You're in a lovely, lovely, colourful jacket there.
Well, it's actually a sweatshirt. You know me, I live in sweatshirts. I keep trying to pretend that I'm out there exercising and doing as much sport as I used to. And, of course, that's not happening. In fact, I spent 3 hours watching TV yesterday afternoon, would you believe? But if you really want to know about this sweatshirt is from H&M, which is a company that I'm always supporting because they will take your clothing, your old clothing, and they will recycle it and make new clothing out of it.
Oh, how cool is that? I didn't know that about that. I just thought they were posh.
No, they're not posh at all. They're one of the cheapest stores you can buy anything in. Honestly, they really are. But when they do the recycled clothing in that, they do it in a very posh-looking style. You know, it's not cheap and nasty like some of the Kmart stuff and that is. But having said that, it doesn't last as long. But when you only pay $30 for a sweatshirt because it's recycled clothing, you don't care. You take it back into them when it's looking a little bit too tatty and you go buy another one for $30. And for every shopping bag of clothes you take into them, they will give you a discount voucher of 15%. So on top of that cheap clothing, you get a 15% off as well. H&M, everybody shop H&M. Okay. There's my advertising skill.
Well, I never knew that. And isn't it interesting? I mean, I was a sewer. I probably shouldn't say was because I probably still would like to be, and I can be. But did you ever have the courage when you bought something to change it out?
Turn it around and make it into something different? Yes, I did, because I went from being a woman who sewed everything, including my knickers and my children's knickers. I sewed my husband's three-piece suit that we got married in. I did my wedding gown. I did my children's little bridesmaids' dresses. I used to sew everything, and I taught myself from scratch. I taught myself by just buying a pattern. In those days, they had the old-fashioned patterns, and away you went on your sewing machine. And I was so naive and stupid about it that I totally ruined my first dress because I couldn't move my arms. I couldn't, when I put the sleeves into the dress, I didn't realise that the reason it was all gathered at the top was to give your arms room to move. So I sort of took all that out and put the dress on, and there I was, like a straitjacket, and I couldn't do a thing about it. I'd already ruined the whole dress. So talk about learning the hard way. I've learned everything in life the hard way, but then I became this brilliant sewer. So then when I got a little bit busier and didn't have time for doing that, I might buy something that I didn't really like, but it was close to what I wanted, and then I'd turn around and, yeah, turn it in. So what have you been changing and turning in?
Oh, no, well, I mean, I used to, because sometimes you see something on special, you know, that there'd be, and often, you know, especially in the more classy, if I can say classy, the more expensive clothes shops, often the stuff that's on special are the sizes, you know, not the most common sizes. And so I would often buy the bigger sizes and trim them down to my size and sew them. Or, as you say, put a strip here or there, and or different coloured buttons. You know, different coloured buttons and different size buttons make such a difference as well.
Exactly. Changing the buttons, changing the sleeve design, you know, getting rid of the frills or the asymmetrical hemline. Yeah, all those things that sort of became a fashion, but in actual fact they were tacky and they never flattered anybody, you know. Totally agree. So how did you go with your long, wet, dry, very wet, windy Labour weekend?
Oh, gosh, it seems that, gosh, yes, wasn't it? That was such a shame, I think, for everybody around the country, irrelevant of, you know, where you were, because I think we all got it. And it was just such miserable, like up, if you were up here in Auckland, it was just drizzle, but wet drizzle. If it's not, I'm sure there's no other type of drizzle, but it was wet drizzle.
Going to comment on that. I am not going to comment on that. Well, I found the wind was the toughest thing. I mean, I went away in my van, and honestly, it was just like being in a sailboat. The way the wind would hit it, and it would slew off course, and I'd be correcting her to get her back on course, and then the wind would slam her again, and that's fine if you're in a sailboat. I can deal with that. But this is on a, I've got to stick to my lane. I've got cars, I've got trucks, I've got people behind me, beside me. It's like, it was scary. It was really, really scary. I don't know how I'm going to get used to this, you know. And it was really funny because I put a photo of me sleeping in my bunk up on Facebook, and all my sailing friends from overseas came back and said, oh, it just looks like your bunk on Mandavi, or it just looks like your bunk on this boat, you know. And it sort of made me think, well, yeah, it was just like being in a boat, actually.
And did you find sometimes you overcorrected and then suddenly you had to come back to the middle?
Yes, because just like a boat, like when you're helming, when you suddenly get slammed with a wind gust, you're inclined to push the helm hard into the wind to bring her back up, or pull her down because she's rounding up into it, and you overdo it. So there she drops down too far, and then you're pulling her up again. So just like a boat, it was exactly the same thing, but there was no room for overcorrection, you know? I mean, if I made the mistake of overcorrection in the van, I'm deep shit, you know? And I was going to take a girlfriend, Jenny, out with me, my little Navy buddy, and I thought, no, I'm going to handle this one by myself, and if I get a walk on the Sunday, or, you know, if the rain stops enough, I'll give her a call and get her over there. I'm so glad I didn't, because she probably would have, you know, had nightmares.
Isn't it interesting, and I wonder if a camper van, I mean, a camper van's obviously a lot bigger than your van, because your van is a van, and then it's got, you know, it goes upwards. And so I wonder whether a camper van being bigger and wider is as bad, or is it just that it's a smaller van with it being a lot taller?
I have to get out there and have a talk to people and start getting some knowledge about vans. You know, I know with a boat, the more weight you have down low, the better your centre of gravity is and the less tender she is. So because this van keeps telling me I'm like a boat, I'm thinking it's probably a similar problem, you know. I think she's too light overall and probably too much weight up top and I need to bring the centre of gravity down. But I don't know how. I know how to do that in a van. I know how to do it in a boat. I don't know how to do it in a van. So I need to start getting out there and having some information and finding out, because I love my little van and I don't want to change it, but I don't want to be restricted to when I can go places. Because
your bed, the bed goes up and down, does it? Would it be better if the bed was down, or did you have it down, or would that make a difference, because that must have some weight in it?
I think it might have made a lot of difference that I changed the bed. Like I had that big, when I bought it, I had that big heavy double bed that came down from the back that had a table and everything in it. And that had to be down when I was driving for me to be able to see out the back window. So I didn't like any of that. A, the bed was too heavy for me to put up. I could put it back down again, but putting it up, you know, after a couple of times I had a back problem. And every time I wanted to drive the van anywhere, I had to put the bed down and then put it back up again to be able to use the van. You know, the whole thing just didn't work for me. So that came out. The very heavy back panel or wall that was attached to came out. And I put these wonderful rear vision mirrors and things at the back of the van. So regardless of whether I could see out the back, I can see better with the rear vision mirrors that I've got than I can by seeing out the back window. It means I can see dogs and kids and everything, you know, mm-hmm. right down low, which was the reason for it. And the bed I now have got is so light. It's really, really light. I mean, it goes up and down with its little hydraulic hoist with a fingertip. So I think I've changed the weight ratio of the van around an awful lot, and I didn't drive it in wind beforehand, so I don't know whether I'm assuming correctly or not. You know, I've got nothing to go by. So I need somebody else's expertise here.
Maybe you need to take away a few gallon drums of water with you, filled up.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can utilise the underneath part of the van like you do on a boat. I can stick a whole pile of more water tanks and great tanks in there, fill the things up, get the weight down low, and hey, presto, I'm away laughing. Then I might find the top blows off and the bottom stays.
Well, if any of our listeners out there have got one of the vans, not a camper van, a van with a top on it, do let us know and to see how you've found it, because it would be interesting. You're right, because otherwise it is quite a bit scary, because, you know, often, especially when it is very windy, very easy to overcorrect, and that's just in the car as well. And then suddenly, you know, you're all over the place. So what have your experiences been? We want to keep Irene safe on the roads, but we want to keep ourselves safe from Irene as well.
That's the whole point, isn't it? And I'm not sure what stage she would tip over, you know, like I keep thinking about my boat and at what stage I have to reef her down and make her safer so that she's not going to go totally on her side, you know. And so with the sailor's mind going on, with these things going on, what you do when you're in wind, it's like, okay, well, how do I reef this girl down? Get her behind a tree is the only thing I've come up with so far.
You need training wheels.
I do. Totally. And one friend that I was speaking to on the Sunday, he said, oh, I can see you selling this van and getting another one. And I went, no way, Jose. He said, I know the way you love to drive and I know you're a really good driver, so if you've got something you feel unsafe in, you're not going to keep that van. I am not selling this van. I will find a way to make it work for me.
It's true, though, isn't it, with anything, actually. If you just don't quite feel comfortable in it, you don't quite enjoy it. But you're right, trying to figure it out first. And as you say, and it's interesting kind of reflecting back on the changes that you have made to whether that has made a difference, or it's just that's how vans work, because, you know, obviously you haven't got anything to compare it with.
Yes, exactly. And I know the bigger, heavier vans, they definitely don't have as big a problem as I'm having, because my sister's got one, and I asked the guy who drives that all the time, and he said, oh, no, I don't really think of, oh, well, maybe when we go through a gully we get a little bit of, you know, so it wasn't a big thing in his mind. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you've got enough time before Christmas comes up to practice a little bit more. But yes, hopefully we don't get too much more wind or this, what I call grizzly weather. I suppose it'll keep the plants growing, the gardens growing, and everybody else miserable.
We may have to think of having some sort of Christmas celebration on Two Sugars.
Yes.
Because I am thinking that we may be having problems of having Christmas this year, so we need to think about that.
I think we must get some singers on, people that have a voice that can actually come and join us for some Christmas carols or something. Oh, maybe that's a thought. What are some other ideas that we could do? But, yeah, maybe a bit of singing. You wouldn't want me singing. Oh, my goodness me, it would probably be the worst thing ever.
No. We're talking about hilarity. We want hilarity and fun for Christmas, so yes. Let's do it. We can have a little bit of a family Christmas on Two Sugars and get several people, singing in their little videos of singing music and whatever.
I think that would be quite a fun idea. And you know, we could even make up Christmas songs or whatever. Why not? We'll all try out our voices. And it's getting to that time again. It's not actually that far away.
Okay, to all my friends who are listening out there, be prepared. Get ready.
They're probably scared now.
They're running for the hills, flat out, but I can run faster than them. I'll catch them.
Now, you were talking the other week, talking about Christmas, you were talking the other week about getting presents and trying to find presents and things, and I suggested that you make some presents. Have you even thought anything more about that or just totally forgotten about it? Okay. Actually, it'd be really interesting to know what people are doing, actually, whether we are going to make a few things, whether we're going to do things slightly differently this year in regards to presents, because maybe we can't get what we want, or maybe we've figured out, actually, they're not that important. The more important thing is a little bit of something from yourself and being together, which we may or may not be able to do. So, yeah, and I think just after our program, a thing came through from an embroidery company, and getting people's names embroidered on things or whatever you like embroidered on things for people. And I remember years ago my sister done it for all of us. She just had like a bog standard towel, and she had one of those fancy sewing machines, so she did it herself, and she embroidered for each of us our names on our towels. So little things like that. I don't know. It's an idea, isn't it? If people or making something, get those sewing machines out again.
It makes me laugh, some of the things you say, you know, because you're so much younger than me, and yet that is something that we used to do. We used to buy in bulk a whole pile of white or black towels and get our sewing machines that embroidered out and put the family's names and things on them and send them, package them up and used to be able to make all these lovely bows with these pretty, package them up and send them off. You know, my daughter is amazing at doing that. She just learnt when she was young and just loves it. Me? I can't even tie a bow now. You amaze me how you keep coming up with these things and all your beautiful cooking and everything that you do. It's like the old days are coming back, and it really warms my heart. I think it's really cool.
It's like a cycle, isn't it? I think things go in cycles, don't they? We forget and then someone remembers again, and it all becomes trendy again to do something like that. You know, something for some reason makes it trendy again. So there you go. We'll all be attempting to make bows for... I don't think I can. I can't even wrap a present, to be fair. I am absolutely hopeless at wrapping presents.
Yes, well, my family just laugh at me. They can always tell which are Nanny Palmer's presents from the package. The other thing that I don't do anymore, which they laugh like mad at, is I do not buy any Christmas cards anymore. I don't buy Christmas cards. I don't buy birthday cards. I don't buy anything like that. If I want to, I will write on a piece of paper whatever message it is that I want to put, and I'll put that in, because I refuse to pay $6 for a birthday card. I would rather give them a present worth $6 than buy a card that they're going to open it and go, thank you, Nanny, and throw it in the bin, you know? And it costs $6. So, no, not me. Make a birthday card, my dear.
I make them, actually, I make one generic one. And I usually make it as a postcard, because post is also expensive, obviously getting more and more expensive. So I make a generic one as a postcard and then send them out, and with a little message, you know, then you can personalise a little message on the back. So just go to the printer. They're as cheap as chips to get printed up. And, yeah, I only do it because I love receiving post. I'm kind of old-fashioned that way. I love, you know, going down to the letterbox, and I don't care whether it's a bill or whatever, but there's a little something in my letterbox. Funny, isn't it?
Now, how long do you reckon we're going to have Postal Service staying with us?
Oh, Postal Service will be there forever. I was talking to our postie the other day. His van was absolutely chocker with... I've never seen it so full. He's never seen it so full. Because we're shopping differently, the postal service will stay. Not letters as such, there's probably not a lot of those, but because we're shopping differently, his van is just full of parcels.
Right. That's more courier though, isn't it?
No, that's a normal post now. That's what you'll find. Yeah. Although I'm rural post, that's what you'll find. You know, you send stuff in a parcel to somebody. You order stuff. Ours comes all through the postie. So they'll be all right anyway.
They will be. That's interesting. I know the postie we get here, she doesn't bring in, maybe some very small parcels she can bring.
Yeah, rural might be different, but it might mean that you start to see them starting to morph into, well, I don't know, some of them now already have those scooters, don't they, so that they can scoot along the path and they can probably carry more on that as well. So, yeah, who knows? But I'm still going to send out. That reminds me, that's my job for today, to make up my Christmas card and get those sent out. So there we go. For our listeners out there, this week it is about being creative, whether it's sewing and changing up some of your clothes, whether it's deciding you don't want those clothes and chopping them all up into little bits and making one whole new piece of clothes, whether it's a bit of knitting or crochet, a bit of craft, yeah. Get creative this week and let's see what we can make for Christmas. Well, that's all we've got time for today. Irene, thank you very much for starting our conversation today with your lovely, bright and cheerful sweater you've got on there. And for everybody else out there, if you don't like what you're wearing and it's making you feel down, go and get changed and put a smile on your face. We'll see you the same time, same place next week.
Turn it down, will you? Boy, didn't you hear me? I said, turn it. Johnny.
Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor.
Johnny.
I'm feeling like a little kid.
It's Johnny! That's my son!
I'm still standing after all this time. I'm picking up the pieces of my life without you on my we're meant to let me down. My love was just a circus.